You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more. And now, the owner and host of the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, Adam Fonseca.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast. I am your host, as always, Adam from golfunfiltered.com. You can follow me all over social media at Golf Unfiltered, and you can send me an email, golfunfiltered@gmail.com. Thanks to our friends who helped make this podcast possible. First and foremost, our friends over at thehackersparadise.com, if you're listening to this on the THP mobile app. Hello to our friends over at Cleveland and Strixon Golf. You guys know I am playing their equipment all year round. Had the chance to go out to Eaglewood Resort the other day and chart out a few different clubs, but always have my trusty Strixon irons, driver, fairway wood, as well as my wedges from Cleveland in the bag. And of course, my friends over at budgetgolf.com. Be sure to check them out every single day to see all the great sales, promotions, everything they got going on. Even if you're in a horrible weather situation like we are here in the Chicagoland area, where we continuously get rain every single day. I feel like I live in Seattle or something on the Pacific Northwest. Be sure to check out budgetgolf.com for all their great stuff they got going on. So today, folks, we have a really special show. It's not too often that I have the chance to do a face-to-face interview, and I've done a few here on the podcast over the years. But this week, I had the chance to go out to Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, the name that everyone knows, to speak to Angelica Carmen and Chris Flick. And these are the two masterminds, as I point out in the episode today, behind something that is truly unique in the golf world, something that I've not seen at other courses, even though I know that they exist. And it's a sustainable living program, or a sustainable farm, that they dubbed, pun intended, I guess, Fairway Farms over at Cog Hill. They've done a lot of great stuff to just preach the importance of sustainable living. And Angelica and Chris and I go into this in a lot of detail today in our conversation. We talk all about why they got the idea of starting this farm on the grounds of Cog Hill. They talk a little bit about the challenges that they had to get it started, as well as preach once again about the benefits of sustainable living and what you can do at home to contribute to not only your environment, but also to help protect things that really are important to all of us. And so it's a little bit of a different feel in this episode. We talk also about a fantastic dinner experience that my wife Kristen and I were able to attend last year, actually, where I really got to know Angelica and Chris quite well. We go into much more detail in today's conversation, but it was a farm to table dinner, eating a lot of the produce and the vegetables that were grown right there on the grounds of Cog Hill. And it was just out in the open. It was a nighttime dinner. It was fantastic. You're going to see some of the pictures on the website that accompany this episode. And Angelica and Chris go into a little bit more detail about what went behind planning something like that, the importance of something like that for the community in which we all live. As I've said a few times, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know that I do not live far from Cog Hill. And so it's really, this is an episode for those of you who may live in the Chicagoland area or who have visited Chicago for any amount of time or who love just the game of golf over at Cog Hill, because this is truly a unique experience that I think everybody should come and check out at least once. I mean, it's not something that you hear a lot about. It's definitely not a topic that we talk a lot about in the golf world, you know, sustainable living and you know, preaching all that movement entails and how you can get involved and how your golf courses can get involved. And so if you're a head golf professional at a course and you're listening to this, and I know that there are many of you, or if you're, you know, on the grounds crew or the maintenance crew at a golf course, you're going to want to learn and really think about what is going on over at Cog Hill. And Angelica and Chris go into a lot more detail than I certainly could in this introduction. So before we get into the conversation, if you like what we do here, I know I ask this every so often, but it would really help out the podcast, is if you were to go on iTunes, leave us a review. Doesn't have to be 5 stars, of course. I would love for it to be 5 stars, but any rating definitely helps. Be sure to leave a little review as well. We take that feedback very seriously. So, without much further ado, sit back and relax. We'll be right back after this word from our friends over at the Four Golfers Network with Angelica Carmen and Chris Flick from Cog Sustainability.
Hi, this is Bill Hobson from the Four Golfers Network podcast. And as you and I enjoy this episode of Golf Unfiltered with my friend Adam, I'm reminded of an indisputable reality. We, as golfers, are nuts. We chase a small ball around the planet, spending thousands of dollars in the effort to get that ball into a tiny hole. We then yell at the ball and curse it when it doesn't listen, even though it can't listen, it's a ball. This insanity is all part of the magic of the game, and it's what we celebrate on the Four Golfers Network podcast every Monday when a fresh episode comes your way on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeart, you know, all the places. So after you finish listening to Adam today, I'd love to have you check out the Four Golfers Network podcast, that's F-O-R-E, where we celebrate the game with top name guests and an exploration of the things about golf that both drive us crazy and bring us back for more.
I stink! The ball is just sitting there and I can't hit it.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm very excited to be here at Cog Hill. I'm here all the time anyway, but I'm joined by Angelica Carmen and Chris Flick. They're the masterminds behind Cog Sustainability here at Cog Hill Golf Course. So before I get any deeper, why don't we just do a couple intros, let us know how long you've been at Cog Hill, and we'll get into why you started Cog Sustainability here in a second. Angelica, why don't you start off?
Sure thing. So I am the sustainability specialist at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club. I'm in my third year with the grounds department in this role. However, back in the day in high school and through college, I used to work up at the clubhouse doing tee times. I was a starter for a bunch of summers back then, so it's nice to be back.
Nice. And Chris?
Starting my sixth season, about 2 months into that now, so
nice.
Feels like I just got here, but it has been 5 years. I'm a transplant from Cincinnati originally.
Okay.
And I've been in my role of director of grounds since I got here. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people listening to this are going to relate with that. A lot of people tend to work at golf courses for a long time, myself included. I started out as a caddy for about 2 years, and then I worked over at Joliet Country Club now. That is no longer private. Rest in peace. But at any rate, then I moved into the bag room, and you kind of get that different look at how the business is run, which I'm sure you both probably experienced the same thing, seeing that side of things. But then, as time went on, you got this idea of Cog Sustainability. So before we get into the name, why don't we break it down a little bit. Sustainability. What is it that we're actually talking about?
For us, I guess specifically with our initiatives and with Cog Hill, I would say our entire business, this entire industry, is something that is fully centered on the land that we inhabit, the land that we built everything on top of. So
yeah.
We can't just build straight through it or build right on top of it. We need to build with it,
mm-hmm.
and work with it. And I think that's a huge value that we take into account every time we pursue something new, pursue a new project. So really just working on things that keep propelling us into the future to keep us moving forward.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah. And Chris, would you say that, we should probably provide some context for the listeners. If we sound a little bit different, we're actually talking face to face, which is a different thing that we normally do on the podcast, but we're also on the grounds crew. What would you describe where we are right now, Chris?
The palace.
The palace. It is very luxurious. I like it, yes. Yeah. And so we're here, and you guys have had to stay over a little bit, and we just ran into some crazy weather at the time of this recording, at least. And so you spent some time, Angelica, you were telling me walking up that a lot of folks had to stay over overtime to kind of get the course back in shape. But as far as sustainability goes, you know, it's just what I really like about this thing that you're doing is it's at a golf course that I love, first of all. And secondly, it's local. And thirdly, we truly are making the best out of where we built everything on top of it, you know, to kind of go along what you were just describing. And so along the way came this idea of Cog Sustainability. Okay. And so as I understand in a conversation, Angelica, that we had in the past, you saw this area out on the outskirts of the property and you're like, wow, I would really like to do something special there. Am I kind of on the right path there?
Sort of.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I can fill in some details for you.
So how'd you get started with the idea?
Sure. So if anything, I think Chris should start this off and then I kind of have like a separate backstory.
Sure.
To
All right.
Sure. So, you know, you see little glimpses of golf courses doing different things to kind of you know, give back to the environment, kind of promote what a golf course can be. You see little things here and there, and it's like, from my perspective, it's like, I want to do all that stuff. You know, I want to have birdhouses, I want to have bat boxes, I want to have a culinary farm, I want to recycle, wow. I want to do all these things that everybody's like doing, you know. And being that Coghill is the place that it is, we've got 1,000+ acres here that we have opportunities for. You know, I wanted to get into all of that, and I, you know, I don't have time or creativity to do that myself. So I'm just sitting here wondering, like, you know, kind of passively thinking, like, how can we do this? How can we do this? Well, we'll cross that bridge someday. Let me get my bearings and, you know, get caught up here in the golf courses, and maybe someday we can get that kind of thing going.
Yeah. You know, so you got ideas from other courses you've already seen, of that.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't think anyone has committed to the cause the way that we have, which we'll get into later. But, you know, that was all motivation as far as, you know, the thought behind what we have now and what we can kind of continue to build. So that being said, luck have it, Angelica and I crossed paths kind of inadvertently.
Yeah.
And, you know, some mutual connections, one being my girlfriend, said, hey, Angelica's into this thing. She knows, like, all about this.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, all right. You know, so we talked. We talked at, I think it was a retirement party or something like that for a former Coghill employee, and set a date for an interview, kind of discussed things, and it was, you know, right in Angelica's wheelhouse.
So yeah.
I hit the jackpot, personally.
And nice.
Coghill, as we'll find out, did too. So, you know, from there, it's all Angelica. She's built it from the ground up. I kind of told her, you know, which direction I wanted to go, kind of felt her out with her experience. And basically after that, it's all her. So we've grown exponentially in our sustainable initiatives, be it the farm, be it recycling, be it habitat management, wildlife promotion, whatever, and we continue to do so, which is great. So I guess from there, Angelica's probably a better resource. You know, obviously I do anything I can to promote it, but her thought process and her creativity is really the driving force between everything, or behind everything that we've accomplished to this point. So
those are kind words.
I know.
Yeah. You know, Angelica's up. You know, she's it's like, oh my goodness. Yeah.
I'm honestly not capable of pulling off the things that she's done.
Nice.
And, you know, her and her staff have really, really, really pushed the envelope at COG. You know, like I said, we've got so much potential. We've got all the tools already here. But it's the personnel that really drive this idea forward. So.
Angelica, tell me a little bit about that conversation you had at the retirement party. What caught you? I love this story.
Yeah. So, some background leading up to this that makes the story so sweet is that so I had graduated from Loyola University Chicago spring 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I had growing on the brain. I had tons of growing experience in the city, in urban environments, on restaurant rooftops. We had a greenhouse with aquaponics and everything at school. So I was like, ready to get into a restaurant, you know?
Yeah.
Down for the cause.
Nice.
And I had actually ended up, I tried pretty hard in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
The market is super saturated. I tried pretty hard in California due to family being there.
Sure.
It just didn't work out location-wise, and I wasn't ready to stick. So I came back and was just working like a seasonal job at a coffee house, and there was super crazy turn of events. I was actually shopping in like the far corner of the Lamont Dollar Store, where I ran into someone that I used to work with up at the front desk at Cog.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in like 5 years. This is great. She invited me to this very retirement party
where
Chris and I first met.
Nice.
And from there, like, the rest is history with the interview and the meetings and project plans and everything. So had I not gone to that dollar store,
you would have never met
Chris. Taken place. Yeah.
That's so crazy. And so you end up having that conversation, and obviously you found some commonalities between the two of you.
Absolutely.
And so, Chris, you had mentioned, you know, hey, you've always wanted to do this. You met someone creative like Angelica to kind of be the, you know, the driving force behind it. And I've had the opportunity to see what you've been able to do, which we'll get to. So I want to talk a little bit about, all right, you guys were in agreement, making that pitch to to someone else? Because clearly you had to get approval from someone. So maybe walk me through how that whole thing happened.
Mm-hmm. So we had discussed some things. We had started slow on the golf course, you know, naturalizing some areas, blah, blah, blah. And then Angelica came along, and I don't think anybody really understood or expected what was going to be able to be accomplished.
Yeah.
So, you know, from my perspective, it's like, all right, I'm going to bring Angelica on, and we're just going to see what she can do, you know?
Yeah.
You know, this place has been here a long time, and change doesn't come easy for us as a whole. So I didn't know, you know, how well it was going to be received. And I don't think anybody really understood, like, exactly what was going to start happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, we got started. We got,
so
getting approvals.
Getting approval. So then, at some point, you have to make the pitch.
Yeah. So we brought Angelica on, and it's like, okay, we're gonna do this. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do this. And, you know, honestly, there was some confusion between us and the clubhouse. Like, how's this gonna work? And
right. Why
are we doing this? And let's face it, the golf business isn't the easiest business to be in.
No.
And it's like, you know,
that's the truth.
Do we really need to do this?
Well, yeah.
No, we don't need to do this. But, you know, we're going to fund it from the grounds department, and we're going to promote it, and we're going to fight these little battles. And I think, you know, over the past 3 years, it's little hurdles, and now it's, you know, we've really got some momentum for our cause down here. Mm-hmm. So,
nice.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't the easiest road for the first year mm-hmm. and a half, 2 years, but people are starting to understand, and people are starting to see the results. And
yeah,
now it's not something to be worried about or afraid of. It's something, right. What are they going to do now? You know, what's next on the horizon? So,
yeah.
You know, Angelica's got our chefs involved, our events planners, mm-hmm. coordinators involved. We've got a new GM who's excited about the potential down here. So, nice. Yeah, things are rolling in the right direction for sure.
So what was that first selling point? Like, what was the first event or activity or what have you? I don't even know if I'm using the right terminology here, but what was the first thing that had to get people over the hump to say, hey, we actually have something going on here?
I think it was the dinner, our first dinner.
Okay.
You know, because that's when Angelica really got to showcase, you know, what she had. You know,
it was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And she had done, you know, there was a lot of building the first year.
Yeah.
Physical and non-physical, mm-hmm. you know. You know, building the farm and then building the reputation, building the name, building
trust in it.
Right. All that pretty much consumed the first year. And I'm still amazed by how much was accomplished
in
both regards. So year two, we had this So Good event with Pollyanna.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on property, but it really got, you know, her name out there, our name out there, and the sustainability cause out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't think that was a game changer, but that led up to, you know, the farm dinner.
Right.
And, you know, it kind of helped with the community outreach.
Mm-hmm.
It helped kind of make some connections. But then the farm dinner, we actually brought people to the farm, and Angelica was really able to showcase, like, not only what she had built, but what she'd been working towards mm-hmm. and what she was capable of. So from my perspective, I think that was our big game changer. Yeah.
That was a big thing, too. I mean, yes. So the farm we keep referring to is Fairway Farms, which mm-hmm. is here on the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Angelica, walk me through a little bit about what that looks like. You've got the apiary. You've got all sorts of different little sections. I was actually very surprised. My wife actually went and joined for the dinner as well. It was just probably the best restaurant I've been to in town, just all being outside. But walk me through a little bit what it looks like.
Absolutely. So, like you said, we are on the grounds. We're actually situated right alongside one of the course two fairways. There's just a tree line in between.
The Ravines course for
yes,
for those who
Ravines
might be familiar.
Course.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so the entire lot we always kind of refer to as H lot, or what is it, the hospitality lot from parking from back with the BMW championship.
Oh yeah.
And that, it's important to know what it used to be
exactly.
Right.
to understand what it is now.
It is correct, because the parking lot back then, because I remember the Western Open days. It's always the Western Open to me. No, but it was all gravel,
uh-huh.
right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and it's not anymore.
Well, down below, yes.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But like Chris said, very important to know it because, so I'm trying to think of how to, like,
yeah.
breeze into this. When you roll up, we have about call it the OG farm. We have 17 raised beds.
Yeah.
And we had to do raised because with it being a previous parking lot, it's all just clay, gravel, and weeds. And there was no way we were ever going to rehab that or remediate it by any means. Plus, with Lamont being a former site of industry, just soil levels are crazy, and we had to go from the ground up, literally. Okay. And so you walk in, we have 17 raised beds. We have our composting area where we have, I want to say, we built 6 bins out of old pallets where we do all of our on-site composting with pre-consumer waste from the kitchen, as well as garden waste and any sort of greens and browns that we can find on the property, which is plentiful. And it's great because we've turned out so much from that, but again, we'll get to that
later. Yeah.
You kind of walk down a dirt road that splits the entire farm in half, and we have a 13 by 13 foot solar greenhouse.
Yep.
We built our own storage shed, and the apiary is just northeast of those two areas.
Gotcha.
There's another farming field just beyond that, but we don't operate it, but it's part of COG as well.
Okay.
And we expanded this year.
Oh, did you really?
Which is really great, yeah.
Nice.
So just left or west of the greenhouse, we put in 7 more beds. It's about another 2,000 square foot of growing space. So
nice.
We've doubled.
Wow, that's incredible. Great. And you grow a lot of different things, too. You're not talking just one or two different vegetables here. Yeah.
No way is it a monoculture. We do, we've established pollinator gardens on site within the farm. We do all sorts of heirloom vegetables, all different herbs, edible flowers. We're trying to get into cut flower production, even pumpkins, fruit trees, fruit shrubs, or berry bushes, I should say.
Yeah.
But everything that I've picked out that we grow, I've worked with the chefs on to make sure that that's definitely thing. Those are definitely things that we, that they can use upstairs with all their special events and whatnot, as well as things that you can't just buy at Jewel or Aldi or Trader Joe's or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And if you do, it's going to come at a premium cost.
Yep.
So buying seed for it and growing it ourselves nearly organically is a way better option to go that differentiates the kitchen as well.
Yeah. It was an incredible dinner, and just remembering, and listeners, if you remember some of the pictures we were sharing on our social channels, it was at night. I remember it being very hot.
Yes, mid-August.
But just, it was an experience because Pollyanna, the name, Chris, that you mentioned earlier, is a local brewery, I should say, and they were there. I remember you had, like, the high school jazz band there playing music, and the... And listeners, you'll see the pictures that I'll upload on the site here, but it just, the scene, it was this long farmhouse table almost, and it was white, and they had the Edison light bulbs hanging above it, and it was just incredible, especially when the sun went down. And my wife turned to me at one point, and she goes, wow, if this is here all the time, I understand why you go to Cog Hill so much, and not just to hit golf balls. But over time, you know, we would sit next to people, we didn't know anybody, it was pretty quaint. You know, I think, how many people would
it be? It was 60.
60 people at the first dinner, even. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. And so, really, and I know this is going to sound like whatever, cliche, but really, we left feeling like we made 60 friends.
That's
it was incredible because,
if
that was the point, you did well. And so, you talked about edible flowers. I didn't even know it was a thing. It was incredible.
There you go.
And you served this, what was it, a 4 or 5 course meal. It was incredible. And some of the things that you served, if you remember that night.
Oh, of course I do.
Okay.
well, we had Pollyanna doing our Dubs Delight Holy Basil beer.
Yeah.
We got to tap that on site, which was great. We did seasonal cocktails of all herbs and additives from the farm as well. And then we had past hors d'oeuvres of, I'd say 90% of the menu was all sourced from Fairway Farms, except for, of course, meat, dairy, and like grains.
Right.
But we had bread with like herbed butter that they made on the tables. We did a specialty green salad with tons of herbs, herbs, specialty greens, and edible flowers. We had skirt steak with like a local chimichurri sauce.
I remember that.
Tons of
that was
vegetables.
Good.
Yeah. We had pesto chicken roulade, local peaches with honey and whipped ricotta, all the goods.
It was really good. Incredible stuff. And listeners, again, you're going to see some of the pictures on the site. And so that was incredible. Mm-hmm. I imagine there's probably plans for additional dinners in the future. Mm-hmm. They're both nodding. So they're like, yes, we will do that. What else are we thinking where this can go? Is pretty much the sky the limit at this point for COG Sustainability? Or where would you like things to go in maybe 5 years?
I think, yeah, honestly, the sky is the limit. Obviously, we've got our limitations budget-wise and things like that, but sure. Angelica's got a knack for being able to do things at little or no cost.
So,
you know, obviously, we want to expand more inclusively on the golf courses. You know, we've got a lot of ideas for habitat restoration and things like that, which... Like I said, Angelica's already done a lot this year to kind of expand onto the golf courses. Just a more maybe tangible aspect for the people that don't normally encounter the things that Angelica does. You know, some of our golfing public that may or may not be aware of what else we've got going on. So, yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, where we go from here, because I just continue to be amazed by what we're capable of. And when I say we, I mean... she and her staff. So, yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of plans, and we kick around a lot of ideas, and you know, some things we're not capable of right away, but you know, we're always mindful of, and you know what it's going to take to get there. So
definitely,
you know, we're not taking baby steps anymore, I don't think.
Right.
But yeah, we're taking some big leaps, and it's going to be exciting as long as we can keep moving.
Nice. Well, that's job security if I've ever heard it. So, how about you, Angelica? 5 years from now, what's this thing look like?
Sure thing. Like Chris said, totally agree. Sky's the limit with the sheer amount of property that we have and how diverse it is and all the resources that we have. I feel like so much of what we've literally physically built has come from things that we've already had around here that we're just sitting, which is so great. I think that's so exciting to really put the sustainability model into place and kind of be able to talk about that on tours when people come out there and we can point to it. But for me, in 5 years, I think really, really establishing a strong community relationship. I've been working really hard on that since being here, especially the last year, I'd say, of not only getting into local businesses and breweries and restaurants and whatever else, getting in with the schools, maybe somehow establishing projects specific to them, which we've kind of already begun with some other projects that we've began this year. Nice. But so much of what we do is so strongly based on education and awareness and outreach and giving these ideas to the public to also enact at home or wherever they can, essentially. Yeah. So great that we're doing it, but I want you to do it too, or you pick up facets of it. And that's really where I want to take this and make sure that we can even point to those effects and those results later on.
That's an interesting point you bring up. And so to not only see what all the good things that are happening here at Cog Hill, but also to do it at home. Uh-huh. And so when we talk about sustainability at home, what is it that we're talking about? Because I don't know if a lot of listeners, even myself, would really know what that looks like.
Sure.
Yeah. What are some examples?
So many easy, small things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And some of them you might be like, oh, really? Like, honest, so many people in our network, they've bat boxes at home. And all you need is a small one. But if you have some wooded area or if it makes sense for your home, go for it.
Really?
Try it out. See what happens. Or you can compost at home very easily in a very small space where it works for a residential setting, and you can use it so long as those are activities that you normally engage in.
Right.
Having a small, even if you have like a garden pot type of garden where you're just using, I don't know, pots and tomatoes in pots, herbs in pots, salad bowls in pots, all of those things.
Sure.
But even small things like any type of recycling or upcycling that you can do, I think, is important.
Mm-hmm.
Your dollars count so much in terms of your voting, and I think that's a huge aspect of it. And
absolutely,
we try to show that, especially where we're at and the projects that we take on. So
now that you mention it, I think my neighbor behind me has one of those big basins to catch rainwater.
Perfect.
And now that you just mentioned it,
and people will be like, oh, but it's just us doing it. No, there's a huge network, and every single person that gets involved is equally as important as what we do.
Yeah.
So. And that's one of the great things about COG is that we're public, you know, so we can do this outreach thing, and we've got tons of people visiting the property for one reason or another every year. And that's not an opportunity that a lot of private clubs will have.
Right.
So, you know, that's a huge benefit. You know, there's always pluses and minuses with public and private. And
sure.
A lot of people ask me, you know, what's your preference, you know, but that's a big selling point about COG. You know, we're able to do, you know, if we're in the private sector, you know, I don't think we'd have that opportunity.
You're probably right. And something I've always loved about Lamont, I've only lived here for 3 years now, but my wife's from here, and it's just the sense of community. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone, that's good and bad. You know, if you mess up, everyone knows it, but I'm kidding. But, you know, honestly, everyone bands together, especially small businesses, you know, and I'd imagine that Cog Hill, the golf course itself, is probably benefiting from this as well. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some things that you're seeing already, whether it be feedback from people who come here, people who have eaten the food? What's the feedback been like so far?
A lot of it, I think, is intrigue. You know, it's a lot of, you know, chatter going around, like, did you hear they're doing this? Did you hear they're doing that? And where is the farm?
Right, right.
I want to see this thing.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll even have employees of the club. You just kind of wander out there to see see what's shaking. So
nice.
Which is, you know, one of the good things of doing this, you know, creating interest, generating interest in the property and what else we're doing. Because I'm a firm believer that a golf course probably needs to be more than a golf course moving forward. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just a selling point, because it's the ideas behind it that we're, you know, we're trying to promote
right.
internally as well. But, you know, from my perspective, I think, you know, generating that buzz and generating that chatter is not only good for business, but it's good for the ideas that we're kind of pushing here. So
absolutely, yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head with the comment about golf courses. You know, we talk to a lot of industry people on this show, and they talk a lot about, well, what can we do differently for our courses to bring more people here? And I can guarantee you that if more courses were doing something similar to this, to even be in greater touch with the community, I guess, to really educate people, to use a word that you used, Angelica, that's something that not a lot of courses are doing. And I'm telling you something that you both know. And so, you know, it's really just such a unique experience when you come here and you see what's going on, you learn a little bit about it, and it's not just contained to these grounds. Like, we hear about Cog sustainability outside of Cog Hill too. You know, you're getting the word out, you're talking to people, you're appearing at local events, and there's a ton here at Le Mans. So that's just a great way to get the word out. And so anything else that you want the listeners to know about either the importance of sustainability, what you're doing here on the grounds? I'm sure anyone can come on out and take a look at all the things that you got going on. This is your opportunity to kind of promote what you want to do.
Sure. For me, I would say I'd love to promote the fact that we do farm tours regularly throughout the season.
Nice.
Which completely goes along with the whole education aspect. Right. Like, live for those days. We get groups of schools, or we have like the Lamont Garden Club come out, or whoever it might be, mm-hmm. touring, and we can really establish those relationships with those people, where I'll have them continuously reach out and ask me questions of, okay, well, how do I properly like harvest this plant, or how do I grow this, or XYZ, whatever it might be. But
nice.
So we do farm tours. We'll have the farm dinner in late September.
Okay, late September.
Yes, so we won't be dripping sweat just sitting there.
Well, we will definitely go, so don't worry about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to find a continuing partnership with Pollyanna and Cog Hill with our Dubs Delight release again this year.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And that's a great beer. So listeners, if you like good beer, Dubs Delight's really darn good. And just a quick play on the name. Obviously, people who know the name Cog Hill know Dubs Dread. Mm-hmm. We are actually sitting in the maintenance area just off of 18 on Cog Hill, or Dubs Dread. And the Dubs Delight, the name comes from what? Is it that you used something from Dubs Dread to help make the beer, or how does that whole thing work?
I think it was more so just playing on the notoriety of the term. Got and it. Name Dubs
okay.
Dread.
Yeah.
And like making it golf themed, if you look at the graphic on the bottle.
It's nice. Yeah. It is a cool little logo, but it's a great beer, and so definitely want to check that out, especially if you're local folks. Come on out. Go to Pollyanna Brewing. Mm-hmm. You know, just a quick little plug there for one of our favorite places. And as well, come out to Cog Hill. Take a look at everything that's going on with Fairway Farms. Come and meet Angelica. Come and meet Chris, and just say, hey, if you could show us around, we'd love to see that. You also want to follow them on social, at Sustainable Cog on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You've got, same on Instagram, right?
It'll be either Sustainable Cog or Cog Sustainable.
Okay.
Whatever it allows.
So I think Instagram is at Cog Sustainable. Twitter is at Sustainable Cog.
Yes.
And so either way, you type those two words in the search box, you're going to find them.
And a huge thing, as of this past winter, we've officially gained our own space on Cog Hill's official website under Growing Green.
Nice.
Where you could read all about in detail what we're working on.
Excellent.
And how to follow along.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Angelica, Chris, thanks so much. for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We will do this again.
Fantastic.
Definitely in the
Looking
future.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Adam.
All right.